Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are in the house. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
All right, Doug and Jess ready to go. Both part of that scathe paper that is the Tribune Review. But today it's gardening questions via the phone line. First come, first serve, 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, instant access, KDK.com. All of our lines are open. You can also, ladies and gentlemen, remember, simply text me at that number of you as well, and I'll get the information to them ASAP. 10th caller right now wins a $25 gift certificate to Sorgles out in Wexford at 412-922-1020. So Doug is back from fishing. Jessica's here as well. So let's go to work. Good morning, you two.
Good morning. I am Doug Oster from the Tribune Review and EverybodyGardens.com.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser. Good morning, everyone.
It's thawing.
It is.
I wouldn't want to live by the river, though. I always worry about those poor people with the ice jam and all that.
Yeah.
That, you know, the point is all melted. There's no ice left on the point. I saw that coming across the bridge, but be interesting to see what's left in the garden. I'm going to look at the survivors. I've had a couple hanging baskets out there that I bought years ago with ivy in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just put, you know, other shade lovers in there. But it's nice to have hanging baskets all winter. I never thought of that before. And yeah, the ivy,
because it's evergreen.
And, you know, it got pretty darn cold and they're still there. That's my experiment for the winter to see if they'll stay alive. I'm not doing anything to keep them alive, but they're alive and they look great.
And it's nice that they're way up there, because then the deer can't eat them, right? Because deer love to eat ivy in the wintertime.
They could get to them if they could come all the way to the back door. But, you know, yeah, that's another thing. Man, they're eating everything.
Yeah.
They're eating everything. They're eating, I've got some Ilex out there, some type of Ilex. I don't even know what it is. It came with the house, and they're just destroying it. They're just in there tromping on it and eating it, whatever they can get. The mountain laurel, you know, that mountain laurel technically poisonous to them.
This one, actually, today with this warmer weather we're supposed to have, would be a great day to go out there and do the deer spray, and I think that's what I'm going to do. That's a good reminder
too, to
me, because I bought a gallon jug of it and a sprayer.
What kind?
I think it is Plant Skid that I got.
And I'm using Bob-X.
Yeah, I think it's Plant Skid that I have, and I'm... It's whatever they had at the nursery the last time I was there. And I am definitely going to go out there and do our fruit trees, because this is the time of year when they start coming after the apple tree buds.
I just want to keep them off the off that mountain laurel. That's a really nice mountain laurel. It's called Nip Monk, I think it's called. And it just has this, it's a kind of short plant, but just has these beautiful red buds that open to kind of like a variegated white and pink flower, you know. And I thought this would be the perfect place for it, because deer don't eat mountain laurel.
Surprise! Yeah, right. They're eating the mountain laurel. Well, I could have told you they ate the mountain laurel, because I remember years ago when we used to live in the North Hills, and I would walk over at Heartwood Acres, and they had a whole bank of mountain laurels on the one side of one of the roads there, and they were all eaten up until about 5 feet high, because that's as far as the deer could reach. And then they bloomed on the top beautifully, but they were all bare on the bottom because the deer did like to eat them. So, yeah. But that would be today. Again, today's a good day to go out there and get your deer spray.
I got my first order of seeds. I finally ordered my seeds from Baker Creek. One of the things is the thing that we're going to grow together, our Tithonia, Mexican sunflower. Only this year it's going to be Yellow Torch as opposed to the orange variety of Torch.
And I'm going to do them both, and I'm going to see which one attracts more butterflies.
Well, that's a good idea.
Be a little interesting study.
I love Yellow Torch just because it's more unusual.
Yeah.
And as long as the seeds sprout, as long as I do it right.
Yeah. So get on that, because you're going to grow them, right, as seedlings, and then I get to have some after that. You do the hard part, and then I'll take them when that's over.
The thing that I haven't done is I haven't looked through my seeds to see what I actually need. I'm just...
and
looking at this. I want this. You know, I want it. My thing is do better on my tomatoes this year, but I know I shouldn't be. I know I probably have 10 different arugulas already, but there's from Territorial Seeds, there's one called Red Dragon I've got to have.
But here's the thing. This is surprising to me because I know how, let's use the word thrifty, you are. And it surprises me that you wouldn't go through your existing seed packets first before spending money on something new.
I can't think of the word I'm looking for. Impulsive. That's what it is.
Seed catalogs.
Well,
here. Yeah.
Not just seed catalogs.
And fishing
too.
Gear. Yeah. Gardening and fishing gear. Well, that's all right. Everybody's a little impulsive about shopping for their hobbies. So, I don't think you're alone.
So, yeah, if I see something new and it really strikes me and I'm just going to order it and then...
Yeah.
It might be one of those seeds that I really wanted really bad that I'll look in. When I start looking through my seeds again here pretty soon, it'll be like, oh, yeah, 2 years ago, I really wanted that one bad. I never did plant it.
Right. Well, and that's the way I am, too. And I really need to go through my seeds, existing seeds as well. I mean, this is a job for all gardeners. Anybody who starts anything from seed and has a collection of seeds left over from previous years, it's important to go through it. One thing you should do is test for viability as well, because that's the other thing is you're shopping for seeds and you say, oh, okay, well, I already have, you know, all these bean seeds from a couple years ago, so I'm not going to buy anymore. But then you plant those bean seeds that are a couple years old and you have really low germination. So before you shop for your seed catalog, as you're going through your existing seeds, you should test for viability. Now, I know you do this on a regular basis.
I seriously have tomato seeds back to the late 80s.
Yeah. So how are you testing for viability?
I just put them in a moist paper towel, put that paper towel into a Ziploc bag. I put it on top of the fridge. I don't know if that's my fridge is still warm. You know, the old fridges always were warm on top. I don't know if it is anymore. But, you know, 7 days, 10 days later... You know, I'll put 10 seeds in usually always, and then if five or more germinate, it's good to go. Yeah. If not, into the compost pile.
See, and I like a little bit more. I like 7. I like 70% germination. If I can get 7 out of 10 of those test ones to germinate, then I feel like, okay, that's worth keeping.
That sounds good.
Hey, all right, congratulations to Joanne from Carnegie, winner of that incredible gift certificate from the good folks at Sorgel. Still to come, that wonderful certificate from the Janoski family as well. They're getting ready for their big Valentine's Day buffet. We'll tell you more about that in a bit. Of course, Doug and Jess are ready for your phone calls. All of our lines are open, so the next four folks that call will have immediate access to the brain trust that is the Organic Gardeners, 866-391-1020. Isn't it amazing when the weather just gets a little warmer, people like out in the porch doing stuff?
Oh, walking around in their shorts. Yes. Yeah, it's 44 degrees.
Enough about you on McKnight Road, but other than that. All right, he is back. How was fishing, though?
Oh, we killed it. We killed it.
Where'd you go again?
Everglades was the first day. The Keys was the second day, Florida Keys.
And border security.
Yeah. Got to make sure that nobody from Cuba is coming up there. Border security is important.
Hey, listen, you just never know who's going to show up on the Rob Pratt Show, right? All right, even border security. We'll take a break. Stay with us, folks. Back with more in a moment. Good morning.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
Hey, join me this Friday. I'm going to be at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden from 10:30 to 12:30 for a winter botany walk and talk. I've been doing this now for about a year, and we just, myself and Executive Director Keith Kaiser, take you through the garden. We'll talk all about the plants with winter interest, and then we get a nice plant-based lunch. It's $20 for members and $30 for non-members. You can find all the information at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden website.
All right, 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank Instant Access, KDK.com. First stop is Findlayville. Here's Mike talking sweet potatoes. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good. How you doing today?
Great.
I've been playing around with sweet potatoes for several years. And this year, I... made a bed, a raised bed, and I ran out of growing time. I mean, I had sweet potatoes in there this year that weighed 4 or 5 pounds apiece, but they never matured. And I don't know, how soon do you think I could start planting them?
Well, they are very frost sensitive, so you're going to want to wait. Now, are you planting them from slips, which are the little plants, the cuttings of the plants is how you plant them. Okay. number one, you need to choose a variety that is fast maturing. So don't choose a variety that's tailored for southern growers who have a longer growing season. You have to, and I'd have to do a little bit of research for you. Maybe I'll do that over the next break and come up with, so keep listening. And after the break, I'll come up with some varieties that are good for here in Pennsylvania. There's shorter seasons to maturation, which is a very important thing for you.
I just want to throw in that there's one little company that I know called, they're called.
And now you can't think of it.
Sandhill Preservation,
okay.
I think it is. And again, we'll look it up. And they've got, seriously, 100 or 200 different types of sweet potatoes, and some of the ones that you're talking about, those early maturing quick varieties for us up here.
Great. Do not plant them until the soil, so cover the soil with the black plastic for a couple of weeks before you plant, because that will help warm the soil, which helps them get off to a better start. So cover the ground with black plastic, and then when you're ready to plant, usually in, I would not do it much in advance of the last week of May at the earliest. And certainly if we have a very cool, wet spring, I would even delay planting another week or two beyond that. Take the black plastic off right before you plant, or you can actually cut little holes in the black plastic and put the slips right down through that, and that will continue to heat the soil, which helps them grow and form good tubers as well.
Okay.
He's writing it all down.
Oh, okay. So he's on a 7-second delay is what you're telling me. 3, 2, 1. Okay, Mike?
The only thing with the plastic, you just got to get some water down in there.
Yes.
You know, usually when I see the plastic, like in a commercial grower, they have...
irrigation lines.
Yeah, underneath there. You might think of maybe black landscape fabric or something like that.
With this little porous. Yeah.
Either one would work.
All right, listen, we are a room available for some phone calls. We'd love to hear from you, 866-391-1020. So what are you doing besides award-winning videos in the Trib, Doug?
I just got back from Baltimore, an event called the Mid-Atlantic Nursery Trade Show, and I just was looking at all the new things. The one thing that I really loved there is a new landscape rose called At Last. And it's called At Last because finally it's a landscape rose with fragrance. And
cool.
I had written a little bit about it before, but I got to see one and mm-hmm. smell one, and I think this is really going to be a big deal. I know everybody loves landscape roses because they're so tough, and they'll outgrow anything.
Yeah,
the whole thing.
Yep.
But without fragrance,
a rose isn't a rose.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it. And I do grow some without fragrance, and it's okay. But you know, the fragrance is everything, and so I'm really hot on that.
Did you stick your nose in a flower? Was it fragrant?
Yeah,
it was a
very sweet fragrance. I would say subtle compared to, but again, you don't know what it's going to do outside.
True.
You know, but there is it's a good fragrance.
And is At Last going to be available in the trade this year?
Some
of our local garden centers should
have it? It's a proven winners thing, so everybody's going to have it.
Great.
And I think that's just going to be a start.
Okay.
You know, this is the first landscape rose that is fragrant, but there'll be countless others after that. When I was out at Janoski's, probably a month ago, they already have their onions up. You know, they have like thousands of onions already up, and we were talking before we came on that this is a good time to start onions and leeks
from seed.
Yes,
right.
At home. Well, that was the same thing they were doing. They were starting all those seeds and
A lot of people think you have to start onions from sets, right? That you have to go to the garden center and buy those little sets and put those. Actually, don't give you the biggest. Onions. I almost said potatoes. The biggest onions of sweet potatoes on my mind.
Quite a duo this morning.
Right, exactly.
We haven't drank
our coffee yet. But actually, you get bigger onions by starting them from either seeds or you can buy the transplants as well. And if you do start onions from sets, you actually want to pick the smallest sets. The smallest sets give you the biggest onions. And that is sort of like the opposite of what everybody thinks. Because I see people at a nursery, and I see them picking through the onion sets.
I always did that. I always went for the bigger ones.
You always go for the smallest.
Did you learn that? About 3 years ago?
Maybe a little bit longer ago than that. But I read the research and I was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. Because it's counterintuitive from what you would think it would be. But seed is even better.
I'll actually go out there today and see if I got my bunching onions. I'm sure they'll be out there. I might be able to pick some bunching onions today. I love growing bunching onions. I cannot grow a full-size onion no matter what I do. And I know day length sensitive. I know
pH.
Trust me, I've been there. I've done it all. I just don't have enough sun to get them to do their thing.
I almost want to hijack one of your garden beds and let me try onions in there.
It would be all nice and neat, no weeds and everything.
Just to see if I can get them to grow in there. It would be like a garden challenge.
It's alive!
You'd be like the meticulously edged bed in the corner.
That's a good idea. You could hijack a bunch of my garden.
Yeah, there you go, right?
take over.
I don't think so. Nice try, though.
What about leeks, though?
Leeks are also another good one to start from seed this time of year. So that whole allium family, you know, if you're going to start your own chives, if you're going to start, you know, your own scallions, right now is the time to be starting the seeds indoors under grow lights, because they can go out in the garden so early in the season. I mean, they're one of the first things that can go out into the garden.
Have you been growing leeks?
I actually don't start my own leek seeds. I buy them as plants. And it's interesting when you get them as plants because they're like little teeny tiny grass plants is what they look
actually,
like.
Actually, I planted some leeks at the very end of the season. I'll take a look at those too.
I'm sure they overwintered. If you have picked a nice hardy variety, that's great. You plant them and then they're ready to pick the following spring.
All right, listen, we want to hear from you. We have one caller waiting in the wings. It's Bill in Paris, Pennsylvania. We'll get to him in just a moment. We'd love to hear from you as well, too. It's wide open, the topic of conversation today. Next hour, though, it's all about your favorite rice recipes, Joe and Frank Dantisi. And then it's Heffron Tillotson, and Germani and you, Jim Meredith, Kirk Carlson, Mary Ann Siebert. Then the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show will take us home from 11 until 1. Noon hour, we walk the line against the weekly spreads. It's all about Conference Championship Sunday in the National Football League. Again, the number today is 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDK.com. Good morning.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020, KDKA.
All right, 10th caller right now wins a $25 gift certificate to Janoski's. Don't forget the Janoski's Old Country Restaurant. That Valentine's Day buffet is happening February 14th. Doug Oster, Jessica Walliser, and we're going to Bill in Paris in a moment. But first to Jessica Walliser. Jess.
So listen, before the break, we were talking to a caller about the great or best sweet potato varieties, short season sweet potato varieties to grow here in Pennsylvania. And actually, I have some recommendations from the Maine Organic Farmers Association. So if they can grow these varieties in Maine, we know we can do them here in Pennsylvania. So they recommend a variety called Beauregard, one called Georgia Jet, which is sort of a staple. Georgia Jet has been around for a long time, and that's a very popular one. There's one called Covington, which is actually out of North Carolina State University, but it's a very short season variety as well. And then another one called O'Henry. So those would be some great varieties I suggest that you try here in Pennsylvania, because again, if they can grow them in Maine, we can grow them here in PA.
All right, let's go to Bill in Paris, Pennsylvania. Hey, Bill, good morning. Welcome to the Organic Gardeners on KDK.
Good morning, everyone.
Bonjour.
On the tomatoes, how soon can you go to using the mixture of dishwashing soap and the oil and soda? I believe that it is. I've used it before, but I forget the mixture. But anyway, to avoid the mealy bugs.
Yeah, so we really do not recommend those homemade mixtures where you're mixing things up in the kitchen, primarily because they're really unproven by studies and especially university-based studies. So, and actually, they can in many ways be dangerous. If you mix them the wrong way, they can cause phytotoxicity, which is, you know, an issue with the plant, yellowing leaves, falling off, things like that. We would much rather see you use a commercial preparation of horticultural oil or insecticidal soap. They're inexpensive. You go to your local garden center and buy a little squirt bottle of them. And they're primarily used after you see the pest on the plant. So you don't want to use them as a preventative measure. They do not work as preventative, and there's really no need to do that. What you want to do is when you see that infestation and you're worried that those pest numbers are getting too high, that's when you would target them with either insecticidal soap or horticulture oil, both of which are effective against that
insect. Mealybugs, white flies.
Aphids.
Yep. Yeah, the white fly and the mealybugs, I put them all in the same class. It seems like if you get those menaces, that they do cut down on the volume of tomatoes, and I was just trying to avoid them.
Right.
But I hear what you're saying. Well, I've got the products you're speaking of, so that's not a problem.
Oh,
hey, when do you start your tomatoes usually?
I usually start the seeds about the last week of March or the first week in April. And what I do, I then put them in the earth boxes, and I have them in wagons. And I can take them in and out of my garage.
Oh, I like that idea. That's a great idea.
It gives them a head start. And hey, let's face it, a man has to have something to do.
Yeah.
You're just like a kid with your little red wagon and your tomatoes behind you.
I certainly am. I do not argue that point.
That's a phenomenal idea that you can get a head start of them in containers even before the danger of frost has passed and just haul them outside during the day.
The big thing of it is the deer can't get to them either.
Are you growing any special varieties?
Oh, I come up with new ones every year. I enjoy just watching things grow. Then I have my raised garden also, but that comes on a little bit later. I have about 12 plants in the wagons. I have a whole string of wagons, and so it really does work. There's no doubt about it. I'll have tomatoes much earlier, but I do start them all from seed. The orange, you asked about the tomatoes. The orange ox heart is one of my favorites.
Oh, that sounds good.
It has a taste all of its own, and they're a great tomato.
Love that. Well, listen, someday when you have all those wagons of tomato pots lined up, get somebody to take your picture with them and send it to us,
please.
Yeah,
I'd love to share that. I'd love to see that.
I kind of avoid pictures, but I'll have somebody take a picture of the wagon.
All right, we'll take that.
We'll take what
Thanks
we can
so much
get.
For your call. That's great stuff.
Have a great gardening season, Bill. Thank you.
Congratulations to James McLean, a Pittsburgh winner of that gift certificate from Janoski's. Doug and Jess, Dollar Bank Instant Access. I just wish you guys could get in my brain for like a half hour. You'd be screaming to
get out. I'd want to get in there.
No.
I don't think there's any room in there for us.
Well, there's a lot of air, though, for you to breathe. All right, Doug and Jessica, I'd like to plant a perennial garden from seed. How do I proceed? I want to plant them right in the ground. Where else would you plant them?
Perfect timing for that. You know, start a few perennial seeds now, right?
Yeah, but she wants to start them, or he wants to start them right in the ground versus having to start them indoor. Because right now is the perfect time to start perennials from seed indoors under grow lights or on a super bright windowsill. A lot of perennials take a little longer to germinate. They're a little, you know, they require a little bit of a longer season.
Well, think of what perennials, there are lots what would of, be perennials you'd put in from seed.
So you could do from seed outdoors. You could do any of the echinacea, which are the coneflowers. You could do black-eyed Susans. Those come up pretty easily from seed, and there's a bunch of different varieties of those. Those are real easy to do. Let's see. You could do some of our native perennials like ironweed, which is a real good one to do from seed. Joe Pye weed. I know they have weed in the name, but they're not weedy. They're great. You could do milkweed from seed, although it has to go through a winter before the seed will germinate. But that's another one you could do from seed. I'm sure there's others out there that are escaping me right now. But and also, you know, the first year or two, I would also include some annual seeds in there as well, because it will take the perennials a couple of years to get established and really fill in that space. So I would make sure you do some cosmos and salvia and larkspur and things like that, you know, annuals that are easy to start from seed as well in between those perennials until the perennials can really take over the space.
Be a fun experiment, you know, to do that. It's going to take a while, though.
Yeah, I would almost recommend over doing a perennial garden from seed. I would say do them from what are called plugs or liners, which are small plants that you can get in the nursery trade. You wouldn't buy them necessarily from your local nursery, but you can buy them from online nurseries, like Prairie Moon Nursery is one that has liners.
Bluestone.
Does Bluestone sell liners?
I think so.
Okay, so these are just little tiny pots of starter plants. And they're far less expensive than getting, you know, a big gallon or 2 gallon size pot. And it enables you to fill up a whole space like that. In fact, we want to do that at our house this year. Do a big native kind of prairie area in the backyard.
And just do them in plugs.
And start it all with plug liners. Yeah.
I, Oh, go ahead.
No, finish your thought.
I just think you'd have much better luck with plugs than seeds. You could do it with seeds.
You get tons of weeds in there with seeds.
With plugs, those things will just take off.
Yep.
All right, listen, short break, and I'd love you to plug into the program right now. We've got all of our lines open for Doug and Jess. The final segment of Open Talk coming up at 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank Instant Access, KDK.com. Next hour, it's all about your favorite rice recipes on the Coons Cooking Hour with Joe and Frank Dentisi. Good morning, everybody.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. Is Radio 1020 KDKA.
That time again for Mrs. Know-It-All. That's Denise Schreiber, greenhouse manager for Allegheny County Parks. Are you going to venture outside today, Mrs. Know-It-All? It's nice and warm.
Actually, I am. I'm going to be with some friends this afternoon. So, yeah, we're going to be outside for a while. So, even if it rains, I'm prepared. So, at any rate, I wanted to remind people that Tuesday night we're having our annual Let's Talk About Gardening. There's plenty of room because there's no limit on registration. I've got seeds from the All-America selections to give away. I have seeds. I have books. I have all kind of stuff to give away. So the only thing people need to do is really kind of come with a notebook, their questions, bring something to drink. Registration is preferred, but you don't have to. If they want to register, they can register at 412-350-2455. But we always have a good time. It's the whole evening is really driven by questions. Martha Swiss is going to do a demonstration. I'm going to have some master gardeners there. We always have a really good time anyhow. And besides, you know, we really can't get out into the garden yet and do some work. So this is kind of the second best thing.
And those All-America selections are awesome seeds.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I have mostly vegetables, but I do have some flowers. And, you know, I was a test judge for the flowers. So, you know, some of the good ones are in here, too. And, you know, it's always a lot of fun.
Was there anything that you saw in your All-America Selection Garden there in South Park that made it into the, you know, being introduced the last couple of years?
There were two that really just knocked my socks off. One was the Superhero Fry. Spry. It's a marigold. It's a French-style marigold, and it's almost self-deadheading, which is really great on a marigold, but the color was incredible. It was that deep burgundy and then the orange in the center. It was unbelievable. And the other was the it's a new annual baby's breath. It's Gypsophila improved, and it had probably five times the flowers as the old Gypsy White.
Wow. Mm,
nice.
We were stunned when we saw this. But the only thing baby's breath really doesn't like is rain.
We have a really rainy season, they don't do well. I am curious about that Superhero Spry. It was funny because when she first said Superhero Fry, I was picturing like a little French fry in a superhero outfit.
I was thinking a little red fry pepper.
There you go. Superhero Spry.
Yeah,
I'm going to keep my eye out
cool.
for that marigold.
I
that's
love
great.
Growing marigolds.
Thank you, Mrs. Know-It-All, as always, for calling in. Don't forget, if you're interested in her class, that's this Tuesday night.
Hey, Lisa in Portersville, say hi to Doug and Jess. Good morning. You're on KDK. Lisa. Lisa, going once, going twice. She's gone.
Okay.
Do we know what her question was?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that ends that.
She'll call back.
Those AHSs, we were talking with Mrs. Know-It-All about the AHS seeds.
All-America selections.
All-America selections, right. And those, we should explain to people a little bit about that program so that they understand what it is.
Yeah, it's cool. They'll take different varieties. They'll send them to growers, basically the same growers every year. The grower doesn't know what it is, and so you test it out. And,
I mean, you know it's an eggplant, but
yeah,
you don't know
but
anything
just
about
see how
right.
it. And then you you judge it over the season to a certain criteria. Then all the results come in, and that's how you become an All-America selection with the superior varieties that they're testing. When you get so many good votes and that sort of thing, that they become an All-America selection. I mean, if it's an All-America selection, you pretty well know that it's a great plant.
Right. So for our listeners, as you're going through the seed catalogs, as we were talking about earlier in the program, a lot of them will note if they are a previous AAS winner. So you'll see, you know, AAS winner 2003 or whatever, and you'll know that's a well-tested variety.
Hey, Lisa, welcome back. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
Well, I live in Portersville, and I have a variety of larger trees in my yard. I have aspen and oak, but I'm getting a lime green fungus growing on them, and I don't know what that is.
Oh.
Can you help me with that?
Yep. It's called a lichen.
This is good news for you.
It is very good news. Lichens are actually an indicator of air quality. So the fact that you have lichens growing on your trees, that says you're breathing wonderful fresh air up where you live. They are not a bad thing on trees at all. They are absolutely nothing to worry about.
It's not going to kill the tree?
Nope, absolutely not.
They're just part of nature.
They are on every one of my trees in my backyard, and they are just fine. It's actually a really cool organism. It's sort of part fungus, part algae, and it's really a neat thing, and they are absolutely nothing to worry about at all.
Well, I'm glad I called you before I had someone come and cut them all down.
Oh, no. My goodness.
Good.
You never want to do that without checking first. So,
okay. Thanks for your
Lisa.
Call.
All right, let's get this.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Let's get this final break out of the way. Then we'll come back and wrap up the hour with Doug and Jess. Get ready for CBS Radio News, their coverage, day two of the government shutdown. And then after the AccuWeather forecast, Joe and Frank Dantisi, all of your favorite rice recipes on the Coons Cooking Hour.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. Is Radio 1020 KDKA.
Well, speaking of those All-America selections, there's one that I've been growing for a long time. 1999's tomato All-America selection was called Juliet, and I love Juliet. It's a hybrid. It's between like a grape tomato and a sauce tomato, and very prolific, disease-resistant, and the trick on that tomato is you really got to let it ripen to get the sweetness out of it, and you'll have more than you can pick. And I grow a lot of different All-America selections, but I can't bring them up into my brain right now. There's a couple cannas that for the last couple years I've been talking about where you can start them from seed.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, and they're out in the trade. I can't get them off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can't remember any of mine. I think maybe Black Beauty Zucchini was an AHS winner from a long time ago, and I think that's one of my favorite zucchinis to grow in the garden. But we can only have so many zucchinis, you know, because they're so prolific sometimes that you about have enough after that. So
remember, you know, the Organic Gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden
and a safer place to live.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.